Take your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to read verses 33 through 42. We're going to read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel 22, verses 33 through 42. God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, and they could not arise, yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to the battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he answered them not. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you, and thank you for the spirit of our church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, it's a pretty tough world out there. It's a pretty mean and nasty world. And Lord, even for us Christians, sometimes the battle gets a little weary. The battle gets a little heavy. The stresses get a little hard. I pray that tonight, somehow you would use tonight to help us, please. Change us. Help us to be able to help each other through this life. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's amazing to me that God used some of the people he used in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that God used two murderers? Actually, three murderers to pen most of the Bible. Moses, David, and Paul. See, in our life, we would look at somebody like that and say, let's get rid of them. They can't be used of God. Why would we want to use somebody that was fallen in church? Well, I hate to tell you, but David is the only man in Scripture that God said this about. The man after mine own heart. Now, David was a warrior. David led men into battle. David was not fearless, but he wasn't afraid to go into battle. He wasn't afraid to use things that he had not used before, to fight people he had never seen before, when it was for the right reason. And by the way, David understood principles and stood by his principles.
Yes.
You have to understand, David as a teenage boy tended sheep. Bible says that David had fought a lion, grabbed the lion by the mouth and ripped him in two with his bare hands. As a teenage young man. Fellas, I don't suggest you try that. The Bible also says that there was a bear that had gotten into a sheep and he attacked the bear and killed the bear with his own hands. Now, I don't know about you, but there ain't no way I'm fighting a bear with my bare hands, all right? There's better ways to do it. I've got guns and pistols. I'm not going in bear country without one, amen? Say why? I'm smarter than David. Mm-mm. David led bands of men into battle. David led armies. David was king of Israel, and David was used by God. Now listen to this. What was David's greatest attribute? Was it his strength? Was it his wisdom? Was it his ability to lead? No. The Bible says in verse 36, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Wow. It was the gentleness of David. It wasn't that mighty killer instinct he had. It was his gentleness. King Saul, after David had been anointed as king as a teenage lad, by Samuel, Saul called for David to play his harp before him to calm his evil spirit. David understood music. David played the harp. David had an ability to calm people because of his gentleness. Now, let me transition for a moment. We are independent, fundamental, soul-winning, temperamental, hell-preaching Baptists. Amen. Have no problem about it. We believe the old-fashioned way. We believe the old King James Bible, nothing but, like it or lump it, there it is. I believe it's inspired, preserved, perfect, as is, the way God intended it to be for the English-speaking people. Hasn't changed in all these years. Now, I believe that. I believe in streets of gold and hell with fire. Don't care what Billy Graham has to say about it. When Billy Graham said that hell is not a place that has fire, Billy Graham got X'd off my list a long time ago. Everybody doing okay? Say, I don't think you should call names. That's okay. Don't call it. I will. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and I believe in his sinless life. I don't believe in the Hollywood version of it. I believe in God's version of it. Believe that the life of the blood is salvation. There is no salvation apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't care what John MacArthur and any other liberal says. But wait a minute. I believe in the importance of the local New Testament Baptist Church. I don't believe, like Mr. Schofield, that all believers make up this universal invisible church. Invisible church members don't show up to church, they don't tithe, and they don't give an invisible tithe. You don't have invisible salvations. God established the local church. Amen. By the way, show me in a place in Scripture where a bunch of churches got together and had a movement. I find nowhere in there you ever see two churches getting along to do anything. Say why? Because most times two Baptists can't get together and agree on anything. Now wait a minute. We believe in telling a lost world about Jesus in a confrontational way. That means you knock on their door, talk to them about Jesus Christ. They call that confrontational evangelism. Okay? We would call it soul winning. Well, I think if you live your life the right way, people will just flock to you to come ask, what must I do to be saved? Show me in Scripture where that took place. I only find one time in Scripture where that statement was used, and it was by a jailer who was about to kill himself because he had to take on the death sentences of every prisoner there that escaped. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't talking about his stinking soul. He was talking about his neck. Now, we Baptists are good at embellishing that, but that's exactly what that man was talking about. Now, Paul, like a good Baptist preacher, turned it on him. He said, well, I can tell you how to be saved. Not the way you're thinking. Wait a minute. I believe that every Christian ought to live separated from the world. We ought not look like, dress like, talk like, smell like, or act like the world. These are all things that we believe and stand and will fight for, but we live in such a wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, baby-fied society that we get labeled as being mean-spirited and fighters. May I say something to you? If we're not careful, we'll live the meanness and forget the gentleness. Amen. Yes, sir. I am for all these stands, but God said, thy gentleness hath made thee great. Amen. Is gentleness the absence of power? Is gentleness the absence of strength? No. Is gentleness wimpy? No. Is gentleness lack of aggression? No, that's laziness. I do know that gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. If you look it up, part of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Now, wait a minute. My favorite definition, I believe the best definition of gentleness is power or strength under control. It's controlled strength. The calm waters of a lake, when hit by a storm, can become dangerous. That calm water is gentle unless it has the wrong force against it, then it can get pretty rough. The lioness that chases down and kills the gazelle is the same lioness who, if you watch her with her cubs, very gently puts her mouth around her cubs, picks them up, and carries them from place to place. Those jaws that can destroy life have the ability to nurture and nurse life. Huh. Does that mean that that lioness is wimpy? Does it mean she has no power? No. She's chosen when to use it. It's power under control. Jesus was not some Hollywood hippie with a breathy voice. I get a little tired of us Christians thinking that just because they talk about Jesus that it's okay. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, if you remember back in the 70s, they had a song about Jesus Christ Superstar that wasn't real good either. Amen. Right. They don't have a real good track record with Jesus, just so you know. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang in there. Jesus was gentle by choice. He wasn't some sodomite that wiggled when he walked and had a soft, breathy voice. You don't preach to a multitude of thousands of people when you talk like this. Why is it that we think to be spiritual, you have to be some weird, wacky, wimpy kind of personality? Huh. I don't think Jesus got up in the back of a boat and the disciples, most all of them who were fishermen, thought they were going to die in a storm. And Jesus got up on the back of the boat and said, "Peace, be still." Say, what did he do? He got up on the back of the boat and said, "Yeah, be still." See, the wind and the waves obeyed his voice.
Yes, sir.
The wind and the waves had to hear his voice.
Amen.
Now, gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not lack of strength, it is power or strength under control. Gentleness is the power of the Holy Spirit being able to flow through sinful man. It's like electricity. I'm going to use this as an illustration. I hate electricity. But as long as it's conducted through that wire and it's grounded right, guess what? I'll play with it all day long. Electricity, when it's harnessed, it flows through a real small wire. But it's amazing what happens if you touch those wires the wrong way, how much strength there is. It doesn't have to be a big wire to carry a powerful punch. Just a little wire. And I realize you have 110, 220, 440, all the other things that go with it. I'm told 110 is more dangerous than 220. 220, it'll hit you and it'll bounce you off. 110 grabs you and hangs on. There's more people killed by 110 than there are 220 every year. Say why? Oh, it's not as bad, but you can't get away from it. Say why? Because it's carried on such a small current, when it gets you, it just holds you there. My brother, when he was a teenager, he was some kind of practice or something at the high school. And at that time, he went to a public high school. And a bunch of the guys were going from point A to point B on the campus there at the school. And right behind Perry High School is a set of railroad tracks. These guys were back there. They had gone, got something for lunch or something, were coming back. And one of the guys, there was a low-hanging wire there. They were just tapping that thing as they went by, and one of the guys went through, and when he did, he hit that wire, but he hit it the wrong way, and it arced, it grabbed a hold of him, and he literally was it grabbed onto him to where he couldn't let go. And everybody was hollering, and he's sitting there shaking. And my brother was behind him, saw what took place, and my brother came up and just banged on him, football tackled him, and got him off the wire, ended up saving the kid's life. Say, what happened? That wire held a lot of juice, and it held on to him. Now, gentleness. Let me give you four or five statements. I won't belabor them, and we'll be out of here. Number one, God said that David showed gentleness by not killing Saul while Saul sought to kill him. I don't want you to take time to turn there, but I'm going to read several verses to you here. 1 Samuel 24. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as thou shalt seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing the Lord hath anointed, he is the anointed of the Lord." Wow. Saul, David's hero, is now chasing him with 3,000 soldiers to kill David. By the way, David had been anointed as king 7 chapters before. He's already killed Goliath. David has a right to the throne. And David said, God did not remove Saul, and I won't take over till God removes Saul. It's not my job to take care of Saul. It's God's job. Saul is chasing him, and they end up bringing Saul's army into the same cave where David and his men were. That must have been some whopping cave, let me tell you. They're hiding in this cave, and David's men said, "Here's what the Lord said. Here's your chance. God has delivered your enemy to you, David." And David approached him and could not do it and just cut the bottom of his garment off and went out. And you'll find later in that chapter, he called for Saul, said, "That's how close I was to you." You find out that 3 more times, Saul tries to kill David and David escapes. For 7 years, David fled Saul. 7 years. That's what you call strength. That's what you call gentleness.
Yes, sir.
Power under control. Let me ask you a question. When you have the power to destroy, do you use it? When you have the power to crush, are you going to use it? Or are you going to let God do the crushing? Teenage boys are good about wanting to destroy things. You know, every boy in the world, if he sees a tin can, he's going to step on it and crush it. He's going to pick it up and squeeze it. He's going to do something. He wants to throw a rock and break something. Say why? Because I got power. No, power says you have that ability to, but you don't exercise it. That's a teenage boy or a young man who's got a sister and he's being driven through the wall because she incessantly talks and he wants to haul off and whack her and he chooses not to.
Amen.
Fellas, just because you have the ability to do it does not mean you should do it.
Yes, sir.
Do you know I have the ability to go out and get drunk like every other drunkard in the world?
Right.
Gentleness says I won't. Well, that's sinful. Guess what? Vengeance is mine, I will pray, saith the Lord. David understood that principle. By the way, David had a right to the throne. He had power. He had a divine giving of power and chose not to fight. Okay? Guess I better move on. Number 2. God says that David showed gentleness by following principles and advice. I won't take time to turn there, but 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 through 35, you find the story of a man named Naboth and Abigail. David's men were hungry. They found this man, and he said, "Look, will you feed my men?" He said, "I'm not giving your men anything." He didn't know who that was. Well, Abigail found out that it was David, and she got up a bunch of food with her servants, hooked him up to the teams of animals, carried him out to David and said, "Don't listen to my foolish husband. If you'll just relax, here's enough to take care of your men for a while, and don't listen to him. He's foolish. He talks like a foolish man. Don't worry. Please, for my sake, don't do it." David followed principles. By the way, he didn't have to listen to her. But she was wise. Her husband was not. David had the ability to look past the situation and follow the principles of right. Now, listen very carefully. David learned to listen to people with lesser position to help him gain wisdom. Some of us men need to learn to listen to our wives every once in a while.
Yes, sir. Help us. That's good.
Some of you at work need to listen to people that work for you instead of the people that you work for every once in a while. The Bible says in James chapter 3, let me turn over here, James chapter 3, verse number 17, the Bible says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." Listen to this. "Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." It was my privilege for years to work with Brother Hiles. If you've ever listened to Brother Hiles more than twice, you'd think that guy was a caged lion that never got fed. I mean, he was Mr. Preach and Mr. Bark like you wouldn't believe. Can I tell you something? There were people that were afraid to go talk to him because they felt like that's the way he was in private. Dr. Jack Hiles is one of the easiest men in the world to talk to. He really was. He was one of the easiest men in the world to talk to. See, sometimes we get this perception. By the way, those that talked to him gained from that wisdom. He hated the reputation of being rough. But somebody had to preach the truth in a way to where they understood it.
Amen.
Huh. By the way, I'll make this statement and I'll move on. David stayed close to God's man. David only blew it when he didn't.
Amen.
When he should have followed the advice of Samuel and go to war, he did not. He stayed home. That's when he sinned with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. He didn't follow the advice of Samuel. Number three, God says that David showed gentleness by being good to Saul's family after Saul's death. You've heard the name Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Now you have to understand, there were more of Jonathan's children that were kept alive for a while, but through the transition, one of Mephibosheth's brothers ended up killing all of the brethren. Mephibosheth was a young man. One of his nurses grabbed him, carried him out, and she fell on him and actually caused him to become crippled. Probably broke his spine somehow or something permanently. The Bible's not clear on it. To guess about it is all we could do. Doesn't matter. He was crippled. I want you to notice something. If you go back sometime and read 2 Samuel chapter 9, Mephibosheth was not a child when David brought him to his palace. Mephibosheth was married and had children. He had a family. David brought Mephibosheth's whole family into his household and said, "You would have been a king's son, and I will treat you as my own son. I will give you the king's son's portion." Took care of him. By the way, Mephibosheth went with Absalom in the evil rebellion against David. And David continued to give Mephibosheth a king's son's inheritance. That's called gentleness. That's called gentleness. He kept the well open even when he followed Absalom. Do you realize after he followed Absalom and Absalom was killed, David called for Mephibosheth to come back and said, "It's okay, you got misled. I'll take care of you." That's called gentleness. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, number four. David says that God says that David showed gentleness by allowing people to disagree with him and even defended those who disagreed against him. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 11 through 14 is a story of a man named Shimei. Shimei came to curse the king. It was so bad that he was actually throwing stones and kicking dirt all over him. Those of you that are my age or older, kind of a Billy Martin type guy that kicking dirt at the home plate umpire, amen? There was a servant of David who said, King, give me one shot. This dead dog won't live. It'll only take one shot. I promise you, he'll not get back up. Just let me have a shot. And he said, nope, let him mock on. Let him say his piece. It's okay. Everything he said is right. Let him say it. Huh. You know what I find interesting? Did you ever notice the story that in 1 Samuel, after Saul had been killed, after they had been sieged and everything else, they came back to the camp and all of their wives were gone, their children were gone, all their belongings were gone, and they started to chase after the Assyrians. I love this part of the story. They started chasing them and found an enemy soldier that was wounded and nearly dead on the side of the road. They didn't kill him. David said, give him food, give him water. They hadn't had food and water. In the process of helping an enemy soldier, watch this, that enemy soldier gave up the position of his buddies. His greatness was in his gentleness. His greatness was in his gentleness. Let me ask you a question. We'll see how strong you are when you can crush your critic and choose not to. Can I tell you something? It's not hard to criticize your critic. It's harder not to. It's not hard to hate your enemy. It's real easy to. It's hard not to. It's hard not to hate someone that's hurt somebody you love. It's hard to do good to them. It's hard. It's harder to let somebody disagree with you than it is to make them agree with you. Amen. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see how strong you are when you can crush your critic, but you choose not to. I'm reminded of a story, and I'll finish. There was an old man. The neighborhood boys were bothering him. The neighborhood boy came up and he said, old man, I've got a bird in my hand. If you guess which hand he's in, I'll let him go free. But if you don't, I'll crush him. Which hand's he in? He said, it doesn't matter. It's as you wish. As if I choose the one, you'll crush it and show me which hand it was in. And if not, you'll kill it anyway. So it's as you choose, young man. That old man understood that that boy was trying to be a bully, trying to be tough. He had the ability to squish the life out of, but he chose not to. I've taught both of my sons to hunt. There's times we've been sitting in a stand and a young deer will walk by. And when you got a 10, 12-year-old boy and a gun in his hand, and if it's brown, they're ready to kill it. Groundhog, rabbit, squirrel, it doesn't matter. If it's got four legs and fur, let's kill it, Dad, kill it. No, 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 no. One of my boys, little one, come out. He said, Dad, can we kill it? Can we kill it? Nope. I was out bow hunting with one of my boys one day. I had four deer, and I had one of them that was actually rubbing its back along my stand, scratching its back on my ladder stand. You know, and the whole stand's going, He said, Dad, shoot it. I said, it's too little. I said, my arrow would be a shish kebab. All you got to do is put it on the fire and just turn it over. I said, it's too little. Let's wait. Let Grandma and Grandpa come out first. Boy, that desire to pull that trigger was strong. But when that bigger one came out and I said, go ahead. Do you know how much sweeter it was on them that they had held off? They got to shoot something much larger, much nicer, and appropriately. You say, well, I don't think you ought to do it. Okay, but we ate everything we took. Can I tell you something? That gentleness. Say, that doesn't sound gentle. My boys and I have seen deer stuck in a fence and got them out of the fence and let them go during off-season times and different things. We've helped a lot of wildlife that way. Say, why? Because we care about it. That's one reason you hunt. It's to manage the herd so they don't disease out and starve to death. You can be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist and still be gentle.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. You can be powerful. You can be successful and still be gentle.
Right.
Donald Trump is a creep. Amen. You don't have to be mean and nasty to be successful. I'm just here to tell you. Well, you don't understand the business world. You got to be mean. No, you don't. You got to follow God's principles. Russell Anderson's not a mean man. He's a kind gentleman.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
J. Frank Norris was not a mean man. He was a very gentle man. Now, he wasn't afraid of truth, and he told the truth just like it ought to be. Lester Roloff was a very kind man. How many of you ever met Brother Roloff? Good night. I'm probably the only one in the room. Lord have mercy. Brother Roloff was a Tom Landry. Looked just like him, just not quite as tall. But man, when you heard him preach, you thought he was 8 foot tall and had a finger that was that long pointing right at your nose. Say why? Because he told the truth. But one of the most kind, gentle people one-on-one that you've ever met. Never saw him preach without tears pouring down off his cheeks. Ever. I've sat as close as Brother Smith is to me right now from Brother Hiles as he preached thousands of times. I don't remember ever seeing him preach without the tears pour down off his face. Ever. I'm talking about the Lee Robertsons, the John Rices. They were gentlemen. Huh. Tough? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that the mafia went against J. Frank Norris, tried to burn his house down twice while his family was in it, nearly burned his wife and his mother-in-law up in a house in a fire. Say, what'd he do? That was between Sunday school and church. He went home, made sure they were okay, went back and preached Sunday morning church. That's pretty tough. Had the ability to crush him? Yep. Did he press charges? Nope. Say why? He understood the greatness of gentleness. Hey, fellas, we know you're tougher than your wife. She knows that. Well, most of you are. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be mean about it. You know, it's not hard for a 30, 40-year-old man to be tougher than his children. You got a little bit more practice than they do. Sometimes we've got to show a little gentleness. There's a balance there.
Amen.
It wasn't David's warrior. It wasn't his leadership. God said, thy gentleness hath made thee great. Let me ask you a question. How's your gentleness? How is it at work? How is it in your marriage? Hey, ladies, how is it? How's your gentleness with your tongue? You go to Proverbs 31, it talks about in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Amen.
talks about gentleness. Gentleness is having an opinion but not expressing it every time you want to. So you've been hitting that a lot, yeah? Because that's a lot of what we have to deal with. Most of it's our pride. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, maybe you're not as gentle as you should be. I'm not asking to be some mamby-pamby little wimp. Not asking you to stop succeeding. Just saying we ought to be gentle. Strength under control. Is it controlled?